Hey guys, Tim Miller from The Bulwark. I was on with Nicole Wallace on Deadline White House, covered a bunch of different topics. At the end, we went deep in the Texas Senate polls. I'm back, baby. I'm back in poll analysis. Viewers of the YouTube page will know that I had to take a break from polls in 2025. Was too far away from the elections, but I've said it today, June 30th, poll analysis is back. Texas is in play. Work needs to be done. Okay. Ask Beto the distance from 47 to 50 in Texas. Okay. That last mile is the hardest. All right. But if you just really look at the numbers, there's a path for Tallarico. And I get into that with Nicole and Cornell Belcher. We also want to go into some reporting about, you'll be shocked to hear that Donald Trump has not followed the guidelines and the rules and procedures when it comes to contracting. His ballroom, no bid contracting happening. The costs are going up. He's breaking his promises to the American people. Donald Trump breaking his promises to the American people. Can you believe that? So we discussed that. We also discussed the Supreme Court cases as well. And so a bunch to get into. Really appreciate Nicole for having me on. We'll be seeing you guys soon.
I feel like we need to do a whole hour just on the writings of the three liberal justices. And we sometimes say they're writing for history. No, they're writing to stop traffic and get everyone to wake the bleep up and look at what's happening in this country. The alignment between the radical things that Trump is doing and the number of things that the Supreme Court sort of says, okay, it is sort of like watching those permissive parents let the kid that everyone knows is out of control do the things that they shouldn't be doing. And to read those dissents, not in birthright, it's just a concurrence from Jackson. They were with the majority, luckily, in this case. But this term seems to signal real warnings for the country from the three liberal justices.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of the red flashing drudge siren or a pay attention to me over here. Yeah. Like this is like there are lots to be concerned about. And if you look at birthright, as you mentioned, it's a concurrence, but you can kind of sense an exasperation and sense an urgency of like, well, I'm not writing this 9-0. You know, I have to write this because this should have been a 9-0 case. You know, neither you or I are constitutional scholars, Nicole, but we both have eyes and can comprehend just the plain text of the Constitution. And you know, we've had constitutional amendments in the past. If the MAGA movement thinks it's that important, the people who are born in this country are not granted citizenship, like we've done the entire history of our country, they could go through that process. But they didn't. They tried to do it via executive fiat from the king, and it should have been an open and shut case, and instead you end up with a 6-3 case. It's really kind of more like a 5-3-1 case, because Kavanaugh writes you know, that he reads this as Congress could pass this law. Like, you wouldn't need a constitutional amendment. You could do it via Congress, and that's kind of what Trump grabbed onto and started pushing afterwards. And so, and I think that is alarming. It's alarming when Trump's in there 2.5 more years. You don't know if he gets to replace another justice, and you know, that starts to get closer to a majority. And so, I mean, I think that is kind of, you know, part of the reason that you're seeing kind of the urgency in the either the concurrence in the case of birthright or the dissents in some of these other cases like Slaughter from the liberal justices.
I mean, none of the politics of the moment are going Trump's way. His own coalition's deeply fractured on whatever we're calling Iran. I mean, it seems like it's still a war zone, an active war. Some people describe it as a shaky ceasefire, but I think a shaky ceasefire and a hot war are essentially synonyms. The economy is on everyone's mind, particularly as we sort of head into the summer holiday season. Filling up is sort of gobsmacking, and his indifference to all of it. You know, that the economy, the housing is a yawn. I love the inflation. I mean, what is your sense of this political moment? Because I think these justices have made abundantly clear that they say one thing and do another when it comes to the politics. They're some of the most thin-skinned actors in our politics when they go out and talk about, oh, don't view me as political. And then they write in their opinions like they're policy actors.
Yeah. Look, Trump has never been subtle, I guess, to say the least. But I think particularly lately, it's just very obvious, like, what it is that he cares about, what he's focused on, and his reaction to these rulings, like, as you're saying, and his behavior on other issues. Like, you mentioned the housing bill. That's pretty astonishing. I mean, the Congress has done basically nothing this year. Like, they barely work. And they have one bipartisan bill, right, that they've done all year, which is on housing. All the voters are saying housing matters, costs are what matter to them. Both parties are being responsive to the voters. Very strange and rare. And they get a bill passed, and Trump says, no, I don't know what I'm going to do about it. I might sit on it. I might pocket veto it. I might sign it. I might veto it. What I care about is trying to steal the midterm elections. So we need to get the SAVE Act passed. What I care about is, now that this birthright citizenship executive order has been overruled, now I want Congress to take this up. I want to try to get a law passed to ban people from being citizens if they're born in this country, if their parents are not citizens. So, like, that, and obviously he cares about, you know, the East Wing and the Arch and all of that. Like, that, like, Trump is being very blunt about all that. And so for that to be happening, the political winds are going away from him. But then, to your point about the justices, simultaneously to having this ruling after ruling where they have challenged him on some of his illegal executive orders, we should not acknowledge that. But when it comes to the executive power rulings, time and again, they keep giving him more power. And
they did this with his ability to...
Yeah. So they did this ability to fire people, you know, obviously with the ability to act with impunity criminally. You know, there's a report coming out that I guess it's $2 million for a pardon now. That seems to be the running number. Like, you can just sell pardons. And so, like, what we have is just a kind of a Trump who is totally detached from his political interests, but, like, really locked in on kind of grabbing as much power and money for him and his cronies as possible, you know, while the getting's good.
And his sons, don't forget about that, in Kazakhstan. So, Tim, it's much, much, much bigger than the cost of snacks for movie night. It is much, much more closer to illegal in the no bid element of it. And it is no bid because these are taxpayer dollars. It's also totally contradictory to everything Donald Trump said that he would do to fund the ballroom. Let me show you Donald Trump specifically on paying for the ballroom.
There's a